You are Locked On Big Ten, your daily podcast on the Big Ten Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
With the Super Bowl in the books, all eyes turn to college basketball. So let us welcome you to the Big Ten Conference and let us welcome you to the Locked On Big Ten Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Stevens.
It is Monday, February 8th.
And today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON. And you'll get 20% off your next order. On today's episode, to get you set for everything you might have missed as you've been watching football and not really paying attention to college basketball, we recap this weekend of Big Ten hoops. And joining me to welcome you to all of it, the greatness of the Big Ten Conference, the depth of it, the team that's making a run and has been the staple of the Big Ten Conference for the last couple of years, maybe not so much this year, one of the hosts of Locked On Spartans, it is Will Hunter joining me on today's episode to recap the weekend, recap a huge W for those MSU Spartans, getting back in the win column, snapping a four-game losing streak. Will, how great did you feel about that W over Nebraska on Saturday night?
Was it really a great win? Was it, Ben?
No, it wasn't at all. No, not really.
It was. I love how your introduction is like, whoa, this person's going to come on and talk to us about how great the Big Ten is, and he will primarily have the most knowledge about Michigan State playing Nebraska. Like, just the two teams you don't want anything to do with if you're talking about how good the Big Ten basketball season is, Ben. But here I am, Ben.
Yes.
Wow, what a Super Bowl that was. I can't believe I hit every single prop bet I made at betonline.ag.
Can you believe that the national anthem went for 3 minutes and 47 seconds? So much for that guy recording outside the stadium on Saturday and really screwing everybody up. Now books aren't even taking it, but you got your prop bets in early with our good friends from betonline.ag. Shout out betonline.ag.
I did, and I hit every single one. I'm rich. I don't even know why I'm doing this show with you. I don't need the money.
I'm just very grateful that you are. Nebraska and Michigan State, maybe not the best example of Big Ten basketball this year. We saw a great game on Super Bowl Sunday, your appetizer between Iowa and Indiana. We saw a great game on Saturday afternoon, a top 20 matchup between Wisconsin and Illinois. We will dive into some of those games, but Will, your expertise is in East Lansing. It is with that Spartans basketball program, and it wasn't a pretty win, but a win nonetheless that Michigan State desperately needed over Nebraska. What were some of your thoughts after the game, and do you think the tide is starting to turn, maybe at least in a small positive way for Tom Izzo and company?
I have no idea.
Okay.
No idea. No idea, Ben. I'm inclined to say no, but at the same time, home against Penn State is winnable. We just saw them play Iowa really tough on the road. And frankly, if Iowa didn't have a literal 20 free throw discrepancy advantage, Michigan State probably wins that game. So they welcome in Iowa at home, and we're going to talk about Iowa just losing to Indiana. It's not like the Hawkeyes are rolling right now, but they're still a really good team. So, like, you know, you got a couple winnable games at home. You go down the road against some middle pack teams. Can you beat Indiana? Can you beat Purdue on the road? And then, like there's a chance, but struggling with Nebraska, who hasn't played basketball in a month. And even when they were playing basketball every single day, pretty mediocre team. It doesn't exactly inspire confidence in the old Spartan team. Nothing that they've really done since like December 9th has inspired much confidence, Ben. I got to be honest with you. It's been rough.
I can't disagree with you. Nebraska playing in its first game after a COVID pause had them out since January 10th. Mm-hmm. Michigan State didn't exactly take advantage of that. Michigan State made 23 field goals in the win over Nebraska, but they also had 22 turnovers. When you're only making one more field goal than you had turning over the ball, not a great recipe. But Will Hunter, you were the first ever guest in the history of me hosting this Locked On Big Ten podcast. And you taught me very early on last basketball season that in East Lansing, the saying goes January, February, Izzo in April. Do you think that is the recipe for this year? Can the Michigan State Spartans make their 23rd straight NCAA tournament? Is there any hope?
A little.
Okay.
They got the conference tournament, right? You know, going around.
Maybe.
Get hot.
Maybe. No, do we?
Maybe. So I honestly think so. Now that they got the win out of the way against Nebraska, like, right, burn the tape, move on. It counts in the win column. Let's go home. 3-7 conference, 9-7 overall. Duke was helping them out a little bit in the non-conference department with that win, but then they, of course, stumbled. And honestly, Notre Dame has kind of started to help them out a little bit as well, playing a lot better in the ACC as of late. So, like, maybe they can get a couple, a quad one and an extra quad two win retroactively through their non-conference opponents playing better. But, like, just look at the schedule right now. They've got 1, 2, 3, 4 games at the Brez, 3 away, and I don't know. Like, they got to go probably 5-2 there.
Mm-hmm.
6-2 over those last 8, including Nebraska. You get that out of the way. So that would mean you beat one of Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan at home, as well as winning at Maryland, at Indiana, at Purdue. Like, you can lose a couple games, but there's a path. Like, we've talked about this on the show. There's certainly a path, and I don't want to be like, yeah, they're officially done, because I don't know, anyone can get hot. And even though they've played terribly, they have flashes within these terrible games. You're like, there they are. There's the team we thought we would be watching this season. So I think there's still an outside shot. Right now, they're pretty much, like, by consensus, right, like, on the wrong side of the bubble, not even in the next four out. It's like, mm-hmm. First four out, next four out, and then the third or next group. I think they're kind of right in there. So, you know, a couple quality wins, you can probably hop back, and it always helps being Michigan State when the selection committee is looking and comparing teams. Like, well, do we want, I don't know, St. Bonaventure is probably a bad example because they're good this year, but, like, do we want St. Bonaventure or do we want Michigan State, right? So, like, they could win a tiebreaker coin flip if they can get themselves, like, relatively into the bubble. We see it, I feel like, every year with your alma mater, Syracuse.
Yeah. Oh, every no
single
doubt.
Single year, it's like Syracuse, first four out. And, like, no, they're a 10 seed because it's Syracuse. Like, I think they could get, like, a good whistle from the committee if they can go 5-2 or maybe even 4-3 with, like, a win over Michigan, a win over Iowa in these last games. They got to start getting quality wins. They have one quality win in conference. It's a home win against Rutgers. They have to get like 2 or 3 more, and they're going to have a chance here to get quality wins that are also like winnable games, because they don't have to go on the road and play any really, really good teams anymore.
That's a great thing about the Big Ten Conference, is pretty much every matchup you play on every single night is an opportunity for a quality mm-hmm. win in the eyes of the tournament selection committee. They also might be rescheduling that game against Michigan later on to end out the year. No, that could be another opportunity. No, we're done with that.
They don't have to do that. That's fine.
What I will say, though, is you always provide me new information when we speak. I just mentioned the thing about Tom Izzo, and it's January, February, Izzo, and then April. I also didn't know they called the Breslin Center the Brez, as a catchy little nickname. Thank you for that.
Yeah, Brez.
Great to know. I have not been to the Breslin Center, but I've been on campus in East Lansing for a Michigan State-Maryland game maybe 4 years ago now. It was a top 10 matchup at the time.
Yeah.
And I went to a bar on campus in East Lansing, and they did buckets of wings and buckets of like fries and everything. Do you know the name of it? Because I can't remember it.
Crunchies, right?
That actually sounds exactly like what it is. Yes, I think so.
There are, I think, God, I haven't been in college in like 8 years.
That's fine.
And everyone loves Crunchies, but Crunchies wasn't my spot, but they definitely do buckets at Crunchies. I think a couple other places too, but like Crunchies would be the primary spot. When you say buckets in East Lansing, like it's like Crunchies.
Yeah, I think Crunchies rings a bell. It was always surprising to me because coming from Syracuse, which is a huge basketball school, we mainly tailgate for basketball games, football not so important. So when we got there ahead of the game against Maryland as a top 10 game, we're like, oh my God, what's everybody on campus going to be doing? And they're like, we don't really tailgate as much for basketball. It's mainly football. Yeah. And I get it. And I'm going to make it to East Lansing for a football tailgate with you and your co-host, Matt Sheehan, and we will be just pounding Fireball. That is my only hope in the world. I've discussed this with many of the other Big Ten hosts around the Locked On Podcast Network. We want to meet up in East Lansing for a tailgate one of these days.
Please do. Hopefully.
So as we are discussing with one of the hosts of Locked On Spartans, the Super Bowl is over. Football season is over. That is sad, right? But we are in the thick of college basketball season, the final month of the regular season, getting ready, we hope, for conference tournaments and the NCAA tournament as well. And if you want to get in on this action, if you want to lay down some money and hopefully win some money through the rest of this college basketball season, then BetOnline is the one place for you. It's the one place that we trust here on the Locked On Podcast Network. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, as you know, college basketball, Big Ten basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, reality TV, whatever it is, real-time updated odds and props on almost everything you could possibly imagine. BetOnline.ag has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit if you use the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. On this Monday edition, looking back at the weekend that was of Big Ten basketball and looking ahead to this final month of the regular season, we're covering everything you need to know about the Big Ten Conference in this college basketball season. But what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every single morning in under 20 minutes. All the sports news, less than 20 minutes. How better of a way to start your day? Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your favorite shows. This, I hope, is also in the arsenal of your favorite shows, giving you Big Ten information to make you a smarter, more engaged fan of this great conference each and every single weekday. We continue to do that on this weekend recap of Big Ten basketball. So we are speaking with Will Hunter, one of the co-hosts of Locked On Spartans, about this weekend of Big Ten basketball. Michigan State snapping a four-game losing skid. They play Penn State in the midweek, and then they have Iowa on Saturday, an Iowa Hawkeyes team that will no longer be ranked in the top 10 by the time we get the latest AP poll coming out a little bit later on this Monday. Iowa falling for the second time in 2.5 weeks to an Indiana Hoosiers team. Iowa losing to IU on Sunday, 67-65. The two games that Iowa has lost against Indiana in this 2.5 week span have been the two lowest scoring outputs for the Iowa Hawkeyes. 69 points, nice, 2 weeks ago against Indiana. 65 points on Sunday leading into that Super Bowl game. The only two times this season, Iowa has scored less than 70 points. Iowa is a team that has Final Four aspirations. Luka Garza mentioned that in his decision to return. Maybe his NBA prospects weren't that great, but he said, we have a chance to make history with this Iowa basketball team. We didn't have that opportunity at the end of last season, obviously, because of all the cancellations. We think we can do that. It is not going well now in the middle part of February as they get ready to go in March. Well, Hunter, are you concerned by what you are seeing out of Iowa? And do you think there's an opportunity now for Michigan State to get a really good quality win next week?
I'm not concerned because I don't root for Iowa, but I think Iowa fans certainly should be concerned. Very outside of Iowa City, Ben, very quietly, this team's lost 4 or 5.
And 5 or 6? Yeah, 4 or 5.
4 or 5.
4 or 5. 4 or 5.
Four or five.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, losing at Illinois by 5 is fine. That happens. Losing to Ohio State, even though it's at home, like, it happens. Ohio State's really good. And honestly, like, losing at Indiana on a last second shot, it's not a big deal. Losing to them at home is tough. But, like, stringing all those together, it's really like, okay, what's going on here? And I think it's pretty clear. Like, Iowa can score pretty much on anyone except for Indiana at will. Like, they're going to get into the 80s pretty much whenever they need to. But when they're kind of struggling a little bit, they just have nothing to rely on defensively. Where if they were like a top 50 defense, even top 40, it doesn't have to be elite, but you know, you can put together a performance. We're like, okay, we're only going to score 72. We need to hold our opponent to 68. Like, they're just not really capable of that. Like, they have to truly outscore anyone they play this year, and sometimes shots aren't going to fall. CJ Frederick's out right now. That is clearly, even though he's a lower usage guy, he's shooting 50% from three for them and is the 8th most efficient player in the country by offensive rating. I got that up in front of me. Like, that hurts them. And any time – like, your team that relies so much on one side of the ball, and if you pull out a key member like that, even though you've got Wieskamp, even though you've got Garza, even though you've got Bohannon, like, it gets tougher to outscore teams, especially when you're the 121st ranked defense in the country, in the Big Ten through just conference games. They have the 12th best, or I guess third worst, defensive efficiency. They're the best offense, but they're the third worst offense of the conference. That's kind of like a middle of the pack team, right?
Credit to Indiana, another huge win for their tournament resume. The Hoosiers are going to be on the bubble through the final home stretch. What are you shaking your head? No,
what a weird team. What a weird team there. That's all. Just like their game log is just like it's striped. Win, loss, win, loss, win, like win two, lose two. Like they beat Iowa and then lose at home to Rutgers, who like a struggling Rutgers team, really. And like, what a strange team they are.
They haven't won more than two games consecutively since 2019. And it's famously now, or infamously, in the Archie Miller era, after knocking off a ranked opponent, they have come out in the next game and only won two of those 11 contests. They now have a bad Northwestern team that has lost nine straight games on Wednesday. You really have to hope, although it's on the road, that is not the case for Indiana this time. Like they need to win that game to continue the momentum they have after knocking off these huge ranked opponents. So big for IU and their tournament resume, some concern for Iowa, but if they can get back a healthy and productive CJ Frederick, they should be that offense we're expected. A great game on Saturday afternoon, the best game of the Big Ten weekend, top 20 matchup between Illinois and Wisconsin, and Illinois truly proving that they are the second best team in the Big Ten in my mind, a big 15 point win. We had Ayo Dosunmu's first ever career triple double. He had 21, 12, and 12. Kofi Coburn, huge down low as well, 23 points, 14 rebounds. They out-rebounded Wisconsin as a team did Illinois, 46-19. When you have Ayo and Kofi playing this well, this is the team that we expected Illinois to be, and the team that might be the best suited out of the Big Ten Conference to contend to make the Final Four.
They might be, and we might get some answers here in a few days as to who the best team in the Big Ten is. I say might because I feel like everything's okay with Michigan now.
Nope. It's officially confirmed on Saturday afternoon from our good friends at the Michigan Daily. Yeah. Daniel Dash, who was on this show earlier in the week to do the state of the program about Michigan's COVID concerns. That game against Illinois has been postponed. Yeah.
That's right, because Michigan State fans made a big stink when they saw that. That's right. Yes. Now I'm remembering, because Michigan State had to come immediately off their COVID pause and go play three straight road games at Rutgers, Iowa, and Ohio State. So, yeah, of course, Michigan State fans whining about something that has to do with Michigan. Yes, that's right. Okay, so totally disregard everything I just said there. Still, yes, you are 100% correct. Illinois, depending on how you feel about Michigan, I happen to think they're probably a touch better, although Illinois is a little bit more, it feels like battle tested, right? Like, they lost to Baylor, but they played Baylor. They beat Duke, and Duke is okay. They've played Iowa. They've played Wisconsin. They've played Ohio State. Michigan has certainly been very impressive, but like they played Wisconsin, crushed them at home. Other than that, I don't know. Like, is Purdue on the road their best win?
Yeah.
Right.
Probably.
So that's the discredit. You can only play the games in front of you, and they have this huge break, but like, I feel like I know Illinois can go win a really tough game. I'm not 100% there yet with Michigan. I would like to see it. I think they probably can, but I would like to see it first with them, whereas we've seen it a little bit more with Illinois. And like you said, Dosunmu and Coburn, when they're going, like that team is super balanced. They can be awesome on both sides of the ball. They play with good pace, which I enjoy. And what I really like is Underwood is kind of like settled into the way to play with them. Like, I don't know how much you remember about Brad Underwood. Like, it was just frenetic, pressing, everything aggressive all the time. You probably didn't see much of them at like Stephen F. Austin or Oklahoma State or anything. And right. I know you're like newer to the Big Ten, but like even when he got to the Big Ten, it was like press, 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 go, go, go. But this team, this roster isn't suited to that style. And over the last couple of years, he's really started to shift it and play to their strengths. And it's worked out tremendously because you've got two of the, I don't know, 5 to 7 best guys in the conference. And then you got a bunch of really nice complimentary players as well. And yeah, they're like little hiccup there, right? Middle, lose at home to Maryland, lose at home to Ohio State. But other than that, it's been pretty damn clean for them the last couple of months. And that's, you know, if they're playing like that between them and Michigan, who knows who the best team in the conference is, but yeah, they could absolutely make a deep run into the tournament if they're playing like they are the last month.
If you're like me, you ate a lot at your Super Bowl festivities, whatever they were on this Sunday, just hanging out with friends in your apartment. You still probably had some buffalo chicken dip, maybe some calzones, maybe some nachos, maybe some wings. You didn't really take care of your body during the Super Bowl party, but that's okay. That's what we do when we watch a Super Bowl. We enjoy the food, we enjoy the football, we enjoy the halftime shows, all of it. But now you're probably thinking, I want to start my week off right. I want to feel healthy going into this week. Look no further than Built Bar, because Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever that provides all the nutrients you could possibly need. And the improved Built Bar is even deliciouser. It's like having a delicious treat, but still knowing you're doing something that is healthy for your body. They have 18 amazing flavors. All the bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew. And they, again, they are healthy. They are perfect for the health conscious person looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low in calorie, low in sugar, but high in protein and high in fiber. Take a listen to the flavor profile of one of their six great new flavors, cookies and cream. 17 grams of protein in a single Built Bar, but only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. It has all the good stuff mixed in there, but none of the bad stuff that weighs you down. And that's what we need on this Monday following the Super Bowl. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. So today, Monday's episode of the Locked On Big Ten podcast with Will Hunter, one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Spartans podcast, one of the great members of this Locked On Podcast Network's Big Ten community. We are recapping the weekend of Big Ten basketball, looking forward to the final month of the regular season in the Big Ten Conference. That means tomorrow, on Tuesday, it is our State of the Program episode, possibly a discussion about the team that is in second place in the Big Ten Conference, Illinois, and maybe a discussion about the team that they beat, a team that's reeling right now, the Wisconsin Badgers. We'll figure out how the State of the Program episode goes tomorrow on Tuesday, but that's what you can expect, a State of the Program episode where we check in with one of the member institutions around, maybe one or two member institutions around this glorious Big Ten Conference. That comes up on tomorrow's episode. Today, though, still a focus on the weekend of Big Ten basketball with Will Hunter. And speaking with Will Hunter, one of the co-hosts of Locked On Spartans, you brought up the point about Illinois being great on both sides of the ball. That was the case on Saturday. They shot 52.8% from the field and held Wisconsin to just 4 made threes. 4 of 24 were the Badgers, 16.7% from deep. This Wisconsin team really needs to find something. They are also struggling at this moment in a crucial time of Big Ten basketball. But Illinois now solidly in second place, only a half game behind Michigan. Their game for Thursday that we would hope would be the battle for the top spot in the Big Ten has been postponed. Hopefully we can make it up. Michigan might have 11 games now to try to make up in a 22-day span over the ending of this regular season of Big Ten basketball. Will they get all of those to get to 20 conference games? That becomes the next question. There hasn't been a whole lot of clarity from the Big Ten League office, but I think they're continuously working on that. So as we touch on the other two games of the Big Ten weekend, Michigan State's most or upcoming game is against Penn State on Tuesday, I believe. Or is it Wednesday? Tuesday?
It is on Tuesday.
It is on Tuesday against the Nittany Lions, who won an absolute slugfest of a classic Big Ten basketball game on Friday night, beating Maryland 55-50. It was tied at 7 at the under 8 media timeout in the first half, and I was like, oh my God. But I said take the under. I was very happy, and that was an easy, easy pick. So Penn State, though, 7-8. The record is not that great, but they are ranked 33rd in Ken Pom's efficiency ratings, and the product they put out on the field, on the court rather, has been pretty impressive. They might actually have an outside shot of making the NCAA tournament. I think at Joe Lenardi's most recent bracketology put out this past Tuesday, they were part of that next four out group, and beating Maryland is still a quality win. So are you, what do you see out of this Penn State team as Michigan State gets ready to take them on Tuesday?
Well, I think they're pretty good. I'm glad to like, so they had a weird COVID pause. All COVID pauses are weird. They had a COVID pause kind of at a weird time, I would say. Like right as the Big Ten season was getting going, they played December 30th and then didn't play again until January 17th. And so I think they kind of just like left our mind, our consciousness, and they started Big Ten play. This is brutal. At Michigan, home Illinois were their first two games. Then their next game was at Indiana, and they lost that in overtime. Like two road games, two games against two of the best teams in the country. Have fun. Oh, by the way, when you're done with that, you're not going to play basketball for 2.5 weeks. Sweet. Great for Penn State. So they kind of got dealt a raw hand there. But remember, they went to Virginia Tech, which is a solid team. They're not great, but they're a good team, and destroyed them in December. Beat them by 20 on the road. Got a win against VCU, which is an okay A-10 team at home in the non-conference as well, and really hung tough against Seton Hall, and Seton Hall's a good team too in the non-conference. So yeah, they split with Wisconsin last week, which is really nice for them. Each team won in their own place, a little back-to-back action, and then getting the win against Maryland in an absolute just nightmare game.
Yeah.
But they have wins. Here's their conference wins: home Rutgers, home Northwestern, home Wisconsin, home Maryland. All of them being home doesn't really inspire much in terms of like, okay, can they make the tournament? Like, you're going to have to start winning some games on the road, and they'll have a couple chances down the stretch. Certainly Michigan State, Iowa, and then Maryland is their last game of the season. And you really, Wisconsin's the only team where you're like, okay, I know that's a really good team. Rutgers has had good moments. They've also had really bad moments. So a couple more quality wins, I think Penn State can get there. They got Ohio State at home, Iowa on the road, back-to-back, February 18th and 21st. Penn State's a good team. Like you said, they're 30th in KenPom. You got it up in front of me right now. Those are going to be two key games for them because they missed the chunk. They're about 500. If they can get over 500, if they can get to 500 in Big Ten play, who knows what the committee's going to use? It's like, we don't really know. It's these unprecedented times what they're going to value. But I think everyone feels pretty strongly like, hey, the Big Ten's the deepest conference in the country. And if you're whatever, how many games are they playing, Ben? They've got 18 conference games on the schedule.
Yeah.
If they go 9-9 in the Big Ten, I don't like, they got to be in. They got to be in with a 9-9, maybe even 8-10.
Right.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, even with a losing conference record in the Big Ten, if you have some marquee wins on there, that could be impressive to the committee. And it's very interesting to see. They have four of their last seven games at home. And you mentioned they need to go on the road to get some wins. But you look at that schedule and you talk about how daunting it was to start Big Ten play. Four of those five games came on the road. So this Penn State team has been battle tested early on in the Big Ten conference. And they might be a team that can make the NCAA tournament. And you look at that and you say, how? How can you look at a 7-8 team right now with a 4-7 conference record and say, this is an NCAA tournament hopeful team? That is this year of college basketball. But that also goes to show the depth and the strength of the Big Ten conference. The final game of the weekend that I don't think we need to spend a whole lot of time on.
No.
Purdue beat Northwestern. Northwestern has now lost 9 straight games or 8 straight games or whatever it is after starting off 3-0. The conversation in Evanston, I think, this offseason will be about Chris Collins' future because they are 6-27 against Big Ten competition dating back to this past season. Purdue, though, it was very impressive in my mind because the thing I said heading into the weekend, they need the freshmen surrounding Trevion Williams to be supportive and to play well. The four talented freshmen for Purdue combined for 53 points on Saturday night against Northwestern, led by Jaden Ivey, who had a team-high, game-high 20 points. I also learned this about Jaden Ivey. His mother is the head coach of Notre Dame women's basketball. Learned that today. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
And the new head coach.
Yeah.
Like just taking over. Muffet.
Yeah, Muffet.
Muffet McGraw.
I think she's a ACC network analyst now.
Oh, is she? Okay. Okay. Yeah, well, fun fact. Yeah, like Purdue is really – the rebound that they've had has been impressive. They were 7-5, 2-3 in the conference at the beginning of January. Had a road loss to Miami and a neutral court loss to Clemson that didn't – we're like, okay, but didn't look great at the time and now look worse. And you're looking at him, you're like, okay, what's the case for them? No big non-conference wins, right? The Notre Dame win, it's like, bah. Indiana State, Valparaiso, Oakland, Liberty, like no big non-conference wins. Struggling a bit in the conference, under 500, lost to Rutgers, got blitzed by Iowa. What do we think of Purdue? And then all they've done since then is just reel off 6 wins in their last 8 games. So now they're 13-7, 8-5 in the conference, beat Ohio State at Ohio State, beat Penn State, beat Indiana at Indiana, beat Michigan State at Michigan State.
I was waiting for that one.
Choked that one away. When Michigan State doesn't make the tournament this year, we can point back to that game. They're up 17 points in the second half and blew it.
Yep.
That was a nightmare. Yeah. Got blasted by Michigan. That's going to happen. And gosh, if they would have won that road game against Maryland. The point is, they're 8-5 in a really good Big Ten, and they're all the way up to 22nd in KenPom. They've just kind of been grinding along, like not doing anything spectacular. Travion Williams is throwing elbows into throats, getting rebounds. Zach Edey is blocking everything because nobody in the world is taller than that person.
Right.
But they've just been like playing really solid. They've been winning games. It's almost like workmen. You kind of like respect what they've been doing because I don't know how you feel about Purdue. You love all the Big Ten.
I love all the Big Ten. You know,
Purdue for opposing fans has probably felt like not as much as Indiana, but similarly like a lot of flash and not as much substance. Like when push comes to shove, Purdue's going to fold. I don't know if I feel that way about this team. They're a little bit grimier than a normal Purdue team. They can win games 55-54 on the road at Michigan State. They can beat Ohio State in a game on the road that's played in the 60s. Like they're tougher, it feels like, than a normal Purdue team. They're interesting, and I think they're a good team. They're going to be a tough out whenever or wherever they end up in the NCAA tournament. And it's just been really impressive for them to start kind of 7-5 overall in the season and then 6-8 wins in the Big Ten, really tough conference schedule like everyone, and they go 6-2. That it's just hard to not be impressed with the way they've played the second half of this season.
Yeah, and Matt Painter's crew has been pretty resilient. They got blown out by Michigan when they were hosting Michigan at home, a trendy upset pick in that game two Friday nights ago. Then they bounced back, got a big win over Minnesota. That vaulted them into the top 25 for the first time this year. And what do they do? Kind of lay a dud against Maryland on Tuesday night on the road in College Park. How do they respond? They take advantage of a bad Northwestern team. Winning against Northwestern by 5 points and kind of being a little shaky down the stretch is not going to blow anybody away, but it's still a win. And to see the freshmen respond in the way they did, that group of four that is going to be huge for Purdue if they have any chance of having success in March is going to be the key. And that was very positive, especially with Travion Williams only playing 16 minutes against Northwestern on Saturday night. And then to have Sasha Stefanovic back from his COVID issues, he's now back. He's a leader for and brings that experience for this Purdue team. They are going to be dangerous, I think, when we get to the NCAA tournament playing in the state of Indiana. Maybe it's, you know, some Hoosier State basketball right there. Yes.
But they have to do the hardest thing in college basketball now. They have to go play at Minnesota. It is wild. Minnesota has lost every single road game they've played this season.
Yep.
They've lost once at home. It was to Maryland. They pooped the bed. They scored 49 points. It was a totally out of character game for them. Other than that, at home, they beat Iowa. They beat Michigan State by 30. They beat Ohio State by 17. They blew out Michigan. Like, this is the best team in the country at home. Barn is apparently an empty barn is apparently the greatest home court advantage in the history of sports. And now Purdue has to go at Minnesota.
Is it because the sidelines are raised above where they sit? Maybe that's still the optics of it. You know, no fans, but the home court, truly court advantage really helps out Minnesota. But that is what we have in the Big Ten Conference. It is going to be great this final month of the regular season and getting you set for the end run here in Big Ten Conference play has been one of the hosts of Locked On Spartans, Will Hunter, expounding on his knowledge, not just of Michigan State basketball, but the entire conference in general. We welcome you to this final month of the Big Ten Conference, and Will did a great job of that today. So, Will, I say thank you very much for your time.
Thanks. Everyone listen to Locked On Sadness, I mean Spartans, Monday through Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Not anymore. Positive. Back in the win column over Nebraska. We'll see how Tuesday night goes against Penn State, but it could be Locked On. Is it still Sadness?
We're Locked On Sadness until they beat like Iowa or someone good.
That might happen on Saturday. Will Hunter, one of the co-hosts of Locked On Sadness, a great member of this Locked On podcast community. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ben.
So many thanks again to Will Hunter for coming on today's episode. Give a listen to Locked On Sadness, Locked On Spartans. He and his co-host Matt Sheehan are incredibly funny. They break down Michigan State athletics better than anybody else on the entire internet or in the podcasting realm. They're relatable. They're fans just like you that are going through the ups and downs of the Spartans and Big Ten basketball season. Give a listen to Locked On Sadness / Spartans, wherever it is you get your favorite podcast. Two great games of Big Ten basketball on this Monday night. Ohio State, who will probably be a top five team on the road at Maryland, and Nebraska visiting Minnesota. Nebraska hasn't won a Big Ten basketball game since January 5th, 2020. Is that going to happen against a Minnesota team that Will just mentioned is so good at home tonight? No, probably not. I also expect Ohio State to take their game that has been so great throughout this Big Ten basketball season, travel on the road at Maryland, and get a win in that game tonight. 9 p.m. Eastern on FS1 is that Buckeyes and Terps game, and the game between Nebraska and Minnesota, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Big Ten Network. Two great games of Big Ten basketball on a Monday night, as now the football season is entirely done. The focus is college hoops, and especially the focus should be the Big Ten Basketball Conference, because it is the best and deepest conference in all of the country. That is our focus each and every day here on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. Tomorrow is the State of the Program episode, but until we get to tomorrow, have a splendid Monday.